Well, good morning, everybody. Again, you guys had that time change thing all figured out this morning, and here you are. Or was it just dumb luck that you? Yeah. I don't know how the phone does it on its own. You know, I'm still like, I gotta reset my watch and the things in the car, and my phone does it all by itself, and I don't understand any of that kind of stuff. How does that work? I don't know. Come on up here, you guys. This is not my show here today. So Pastor Phil is out horsing around somewhere with his bride, taking the weekend off. So that's good. Good for him, I guess, you know. We are blessed today to have... Do you want this chair?
I don't need it.
Okay. Thank you. We're blessed to have Nathan Bryant here with us. Now, he might look familiar.
Yeah.
He has been here before, but he does have a twin brother named Philip, which you think, well, which is the one I've met? I don't have any idea either.
He doesn't know either.
I don't. But Nathan, and this is Wade Reiniger. That was pretty good,
you
huh?
You did great.
And Wade and Nathan are on a little bit of a road trip of sorts. They both work for Caris. With Assist church planting and evangelism training. Wade is actually planting a church in Florida, in the Tampa area. So we are delighted that they're here today. Now, Nathan's speaking this morning, and then at 2 o'clock, he is going to be doing a workshop for us on really practical evangelism, relational evangelism. And what's kind of cool about that is you might have seen Pastor Phil's email that came out just at the end of last week. We are partners with the Arab American Learning Center, right? You're familiar with that down in Sacramento. And they have a workshop that they're going to be doing because they are putting on an annual Thanksgiving dinner for the people that are within their sphere of ministry. Refugees in the Sacramento area. And so if you stop by the table out in front of the cafe today, you'll get a little information about how to take that workshop and how to relate specifically to that culture, Middle Eastern culture. So the timing is great that you're here. We're so thankful that you're here, you guys. God bless you. And we'll turn it over to Nathan.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Wade, would you mind getting my notes for my message?
Yeah. I just travel along to be his errand boy. That's all that happens.
It's such a joy to be with you this morning. As the director of Assist Church Expansion, one of the Caris Fellowship ministries, I just want to say thank you to your church for allowing us to have your pastor, Pastor Phil Sparling, to be our executive director of the Caris Fellowship. Our fellowship of churches is small. We only have 220 in the U.S. and Canada. We're part of the larger Caris Alliance of Churches. Our global movement is over 3,000 churches. And your pastor is leading us through this season over the last 3 years and has done just a tremendous job. His vision, his leadership has been just unbelievable. So we've been really, really blessed by his leadership and his grace to our fellowship of churches. And we're seeing some serious and significant results, even amidst all the pandemic challenges that I think all of us are experiencing together. I wanted to give you a little bit of an overview of who Assist is. I know I've been here before, but most of you probably don't remember me or know who Assist is. Assist is an organization that works within our fellowship of churches, and we exist to help our fellowship, the Caris Fellowship, be an expanding movement. And we do that by helping churches plant churches. We help churches daughter churches as well as campus and multi-site if they're interested. We also work with churches that are in challenge to help them revitalize and restart churches if needed. And we also work to help churches think about their future and revision so they can be more effective in expanding for the gospel. I'm going to share with you just a couple of the projects that we're working on. Before I do that, I should show you a picture of my family. And I think I'm supposed to turn this on. Dave, yeah, I think I got it. There we go. This is a picture of my family. This is my son Isaiah, my son Micah, and my wife Jennifer. We did a trip this summer in Quebec. It was just absolutely beautiful, and we had a great time together. And I live in Canada, and I've been the director of our field team in Canada to plant churches for the last 24 years. And this last four and a half years, God's taken us to a journey to transition our ministry to work within all of the U.S. and Canada and helping our fellowship move forward with expanding both in church planting and church revitalization and restart. Some of the projects that we're working on, I'll just share a couple of them. This is a new church start. Did you know our fellowship is actually planting churches? We are. You're part of our movement of churches that's actually planting churches, and this is a new one that's just started in the Columbus area. Just a wonderful couple here, Trey and his wife. They're launching. They've actually been kind of in a semi-launch through COVID. You know, COVID has had a lot of challenges for churches. Imagine trying to launch your church during COVID. That's what they've been trying to do, but they're actually launching officially December 15th. Right there in Columbus, Ohio. So that's the Contrast Church. They've got a wonderful team of people. They're doing a great job planting in Columbus, Ohio. This is Laban Reeves, and we have a church restart happening in Harlem. And Laban and his wife, Charity, have been there for 3.5 years working to restart that church. They're doing a fantastic job. We need to be praying for this church in Harlem. This is another restart opportunity that we're working with over 3.5 years in Bowling Green, Ohio. And that church was down to 22 people, the average age of 75 and older. And when I talked to the elders before, we recruited Eric to come there. The elders said, "We love it. They love the church, but nobody wants to do anything." That's what he said. I said, "So Eric, have fun." So Eric is there. He's restarting that church. He's reaching new people for Jesus. And can you pray for the church in Bowling Green, Ohio? Here's another church, Lakeland, Florida. In Florida, our churches have had a significant decline. We used to have about 32 churches in Florida. Now we're down to about 14 or 15 churches. One of those churches was rescued by the Sebring Church, the Lakeland Church, and they have campused it, but not really campused it like you think mega churches do. They just try to protect it from going under. And the church was down to three people. And this young family said, "We'll step in. We want to see it have a new day." And they're working to restart that church. They already have a core of about 15 or 20 that have started to come to join them to help them. In fact, Wade is coaching this project. Can you be praying for the Lakeland Church that it would have a new day and see new people come to Jesus and grow? This is Dane Caraway and his wife, and this is kind of their team a little bit, their kids. They're planting in Baltimore. Dane arrived in Towson, the city just outside of Baltimore. He arrived there the day before they restricted all the rules for COVID. So March of the year of last year, he showed up to start planting a church, and he can't see anybody, have anybody in his house, can't hold any meetings, can't... How does it... Tough on church planting when you've got that as your... So... Please pray for Dane. They're just starting to get traction. They're starting to do some engagement. They've got about 25 people meeting on Wednesday nights in Bible studies, and they're starting to get some movement. Can you pray for a new church to start in Towson, Maryland? This is Wade Reiniger. When he's here, I don't even have to talk about him. He can come talk for himself. I don't know. Do we have the microphone? Yeah, you got it. Awesome. Okay, come on up, Wade. Give us just a couple of minutes about what you're doing, who you are, and maybe introduce your beautiful family here.
So my wife, Anna, we've married for 14 years. She was born and raised in St. Petersburg, Florida. Her dad was the pastor of the Pinellas Park Grace Brethren Church for over 30 years. He just recently retired a couple years ago. My oldest is Emery. She's 12. Elliot is about to turn 10 this month. Elias is 5, and Eveline is 3. And so if you want to come to a nice, quiet place, don't come to my home. Stay far away. But we've been planting churches in the Charis Fellowship ever since we got married. We've planted a church campus in just outside of Philadelphia in Warrington, Warminster, Pennsylvania area. And then we moved back to Florida and we hung out and we were doing some missional work there for a little bit. And then we went to Canada. We were in Canada for 6 years and helped plant a campus of a multi-site church there called Renew. And then just recently in July, we moved back to Florida hoping to plant a new Charis Fellowship Church in Florida. As you just heard, we used to have 30-plus churches. Now we have about 15. 10 of those are Anglo-speaking demographic churches, and then 3 of them are Haitian, 2 of them are Hispanic. I believe those are the numbers. And so we want to see our fellowship be healthy. Ultimately, we want to see people come to know Jesus, but we believe in our fellowship, and so we want to see more churches in our fellowship as well. I also work part-time with Assist as a coach and a trainer, helping out, do whatever I can. And then I also get to help hang out with Phil Sparling as well. I do some work with the fellowship, with conferences and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Awesome. And we want to thank your church, because your church is actually helping to support this new church start. So we wanted you to get to know Wade. Can you give Wade a big hand for what he's doing there? You know, it's no easy thing to consider planting a church, and I've been so excited to hear about your vision as a church as you seek to make Jesus famous here in the foothills and all over the world. You have a 10, 11, and 12 vision, and Pastor Phil was sharing that vision with me, and I've read the stuff that you guys are doing, and I've watched the videos. It's like, it's incredible, the 10, 11 vision that you have, 10 projects in 12 years, $11 million. It's incredible that even through this COVID season, your church wants to rise up and take on new territory for Jesus and make him famous, and we get to do it together. And you're ambitious. You're not just, you know, thinking small. You're thinking big, and you're thinking long term. It's just incredible. But in the project season that you're in right now is the all-in campaign. The all-in campaign. If you're not familiar with that campaign here at your church, you need to get connected to Pastor Dave or whoever else. Watch the videos. It's exciting what you guys are going after. You're wanting to plant one church. You're looking to plant, send one missionary to the field to go on long-term to reach lost people for Jesus. And you're also wanting to do one project here that would advance the cause of Christ in this community. I think it's super, super cool. In the context of that 10, 11, 12 vision that you guys are moving into in the all-in-one campaign, a component of that is church planting. And as Assist Church Expansion, we're pretty excited about you guys getting after that piece. And we want to help you with it. But Pastor Phil called me and said, Nathan, could you come and talk to our church family about why should our church plant a church? Why should our church plant a church? I thought that was a great question. So I said, well, I'll give it a good shot here. We'll try today and see if we can't get into that. So let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles, if you have them, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. I have the verses up here. And in the book of Ephesians, it's all about the church. It's all about the church. The theology of the church, the theology of how Jesus is the foundation and the author and the head of the church, and all the amazing benefits we have being part of the church. And it says this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. It says, though I am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to illuminate for everyone the stewardship of this mystery, which for ages past has been kept hidden in God who created all things. So in the ages that were before Jesus, the concept of the church was unknown. The mystery of Christ himself, how he would die and pay for the sins of the whole world, and that by faith in him, you could be forgiven of your sin and be with him forever and be part of his family called the church. This was a mystery that was hidden in Christ. God had kept it hidden. But now in this age, it's been revealed. We live in an amazing era of time in the history of man. We live in a time when God is working in a unique way in this age of grace called the time of the church, the age of the church. So this illumination for everyone, the stewardship of this mystery for which God for ages past has kept hidden in God who created all things. His purpose was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You are part of the church. If you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are part of the family of God, through that placing your faith in him, you become part of the church. And the church is God's agenda. What God is doing in this season of history of the world, he is working to develop and grow his church. And he's using it as to display the manifold wisdom of God to all of these spiritual powers and authorities. And he's doing it according to the eternal purpose that he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing more important. There is nothing bigger than the church. There's nothing you can give yourself to. There's nothing that God is doing that's more than the church. The church is what he's all about right now. So why should we plant churches? Because this is what God is all about. He's about his church. He's about growing his church. He's about helping his church to be beautiful and expand in the world. So why do we plant churches? Well, it's because it's what God is all about in this era that we live in. And we get to be part of this season, this part of history. We weren't born 3,000 years ago and had to live under the law. We were actually born in the time and the place where we can actually live in the grace and be part of the church. It's just an amazing thing. Of course, this passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 28, I'm sure a lot of you are very familiar with. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So Jesus tells us to go and make disciples. So why should we plant churches? Because we're supposed to go and make disciples. That's why we plant churches, because Jesus commissioned us to go and do it. When you send your missionaries off to go into foreign lands and make disciples, what do you think they're doing primarily? They're communicating the message and the good news of Jesus, but they're starting and developing and strengthening churches. That's what they do. That's what missionaries do. And we see this, of course, this was the template of the early church. In Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 23, Paul had gone out to share the good news of Jesus to the Gentiles and was seeing people convert and come to know Jesus and put their faith in him and see him as the Messiah. And as he went to all these different cities, he was sharing the gospel. Not only was he sharing the gospel, you'll see he was establishing the church. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church. So Paul wasn't just street preaching. He was, but he wasn't just. He wasn't just talking to people about Jesus. He was, but he wasn't just. What he was doing was inviting people into a relationship with Jesus Christ to be forgiven of their sins, but that wasn't the end point. That was just the beginning. Because once they received Jesus as their Savior, they became part of the church, the family, the body of Christ. And this body of Christ is being built all across the world, and it's bringing glory to God. It's this beautiful bride, and Jesus is the head. And God wants us to go and make disciples. And the best, most effective way to make a disciple is not through an individual trying to make it on his own, but to be in community with other believers called the church, where the gifts of God, the diversity of the gifts of God, in the leadership of God, in the focus on the Word of God, will develop and nurture you into becoming the disciple that God's called you to be. It's impossible to be everything that you're meant to be outside of the family of God, which is the church. The church is the vehicle by which we are moving forward in our growth as a disciple. And Jesus commissioned us to do it, and it was what we see as the model of the early church and the disciples and the apostles that went out. They went to plant churches as they were proclaiming Christ and people were coming to know him. Another reason why we need to start new churches is that God has called us to be fruitful. In John 15, 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and what? Bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Fruit that will remain." Jesus here says, as he did in Matthew 28, he says, go. And he says, go and bear fruit. And God wants us as individuals to go and bear fruit, but he also wants us corporately as his body in local places to go and bear fruit. He's looking for us to return fruit. He looks for that. And we see this, of course, in Genesis chapter 1. All of Genesis 1 talks about how God created everything, and he created living things. And when he made living things, what it defined it as living? It was going to grow and reproduce. Healthy living things grow and reproduce. Now, there are people and things that don't, and it's sad that they can't. But the natural course of life, if it's healthy, it grows and reproduces. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." It's interesting when he talks about the fish of the sea, he says, and he made the fish of the sea, and the seas were teeming with fish. God's desire is that the world is filled with his people, that there weren't a small cluster hiding away someplace, but there are many, many people who come to know and follow him, get to know about him, and that his church is growing and it is multiplying all across the world. The reason why you are in church today in this building with these people is because somebody at some point in time took the risk and said, we're going to start a church in this community. Right? Every church started somewhere. So why do we start churches? Because he calls us to be fruitful and to multiply. And we start churches because we benefit from the fact that someone else started one for us, don't we? So we should be about starting one for others. Well, I'm going to share some statistics with you. Hopefully you don't get too bogged down with numbers. If it was my wife watching today, she would say, just show me some pictures. Stop showing me numbers. But I'm going to show you some numbers today to help show you that there is a need, a significant need in North America for church planting. Every year, 6,000 to 10,000 churches die. Every year in this country, 6,000 to 10,000 churches close the door. So why should we plant more churches? Well, we're losing a lot of churches. A lot of churches. Hundreds of churches every day are being closed, every day, across North America. That's the truth. So why should we plant more churches? Boy, we better. Over 4,000 churches are being planted every year, which sounds really awesome, and it is in some regard. 4,000 churches are being planted every year. But that's only one quarter of the pace in which to keep up with the actual population growth of the country. So the country is growing at four times the pace that we're planting new churches. And at the same time, we're losing 6,000 to 10,000 churches a year. So are we gaining as the body of Christ on the mission of God to proclaim his name and make his glory known in every community and to raise the fame and glory of Jesus? No. We're losing ground in a very significant way. In fact, only 18% of people attend worship services on any given Sunday. Across North America, 18% of people attend worship services on any given Sunday. And that's every denomination, including Catholicism. So you take all of the Christian religious people on this particular Sunday, and if we were to go across America, only 18% of the population across the country is actually attending a worship service this morning. It's down 19% in this last decade. The number of people attending services is down 19% in the last 10 years. So why do we need to plant new churches? All because we're losing them. We're not keeping pace with the population, and the churches that we do have are losing membership. We need to plant new churches. 85% of the people who come to know Jesus, the adults that come to know Jesus in any given church, come to know Christ within the first 5 or 10 years of the church's life. Did you know that? Now, some churches are the exception to the rule. And I am praying to God that your church is one of those churches and will continue to reach lost people and make disciples for Jesus. But most churches, the vast majority of churches, 85 to 90% of all the adults that ever come to know Jesus through the life of that church come to know him within the first 5 to 10 years of the life of that church. So why do we need to plant churches? Well, we need to plant churches because church plants are the most effective means by which we can get after making new disciples. Because you see, in church plants, 60 to 90% of the people who come to a new church plant are not currently in church. 60 to 90%. At the same time, in existing churches, 10 to 20% of the new people that come to existing churches are currently unchurched. The vast majority of people that come to established churches are already part of a church somewhere. And they're moving from this church to that church, and they're playing, you know, church shuffle. And that's what happens. And it's okay, and hopefully they come to this church, a great church that teaches the Word of God and talks about Jesus Christ, and they can be encouraged and strengthened in their faith. And that's healthy, and that's good, but there needs to be conversion of the lost. Jesus says to go and make new disciples for him. And so church planting is much more effective at getting after the gospel and reaching new people. People that come to a new church, they feel like they can start over. They can begin again. And for lots of people, that's a fresh idea that allows them to have entrance into the church. Did you know this, that the average church that plants a church, this is the research on this, grows by 21% within the next 5 years of planting the church. It grows five times faster than if you didn't plant. All the research that's done on hundreds of churches that have been planted by mother and daughter churches shows that actually it's to your benefit to plant churches. Because when you start having babies, I was just down to see my brother in his daughter in Ripon, and then she has a brand new baby called Lucy, and she's only like 9 months old, 6 to 9 months old, and she's adorable. There's nothing like seeing a brand new baby, is it? The sense of newness and life and hope and expectation. And that's what comes when you start to talk about planting new churches. And your church is starting to have the conversation and say, we want to plant new churches. We want to start having babies. We want to start having babies for the kingdom of Jesus. And we want to start planting churches. I think it's just an amazing thing. As you start to do that, the vision of the gospel, the vision of newness, the vision of hope, the vision of new communities, horizons are out beyond ourselves, start to rise, and you start to grow as a congregation. It's to your advantage to plant new churches. The average church that plants a church grows by 21% over the next 5 years. The last reason I want to share with you today for why you should plant a new church is because when you plant a new church and you reach new people for Jesus, you change people generationally. You change people generationally. I'm going to share a couple stories. This is my wife, Jennifer, and my mother-in-law, Donna. When we first moved to Canada and planted a church there, their first church was called Grace Community Church. Good name, huh? Grace Community Church. Two of the first people I had the privilege of leading to Christ who came to our church was Donna and Jennifer. And they came into the church, and then they started coming to my evangelistic Bible study. They both received Christ as their Savior, and of course, I came to know Jennifer quite well as we got married, and we have two kids. But on our street, Donna and Jennifer, my wife and my mother-in-law, have a desire to see the neighbors and people on our street come to know Jesus. And this girl, Juliana, they've been working on her for about 12 years. And she came to know Christ in Donna's Bible study that she had on the street years ago. But over this last year through COVID, my wife had a desire to see the kids on the street better connected. And she opened up our garage because in Ontario, Canada, where we are, it's very restrictive in terms of the interaction we can have with others through all the COVID rules. But she opened up the garage and the kids would come in and she started to connect with Juliana. Juliana started to watch the services with her on Sunday. She started coming to youth group through video because they couldn't come in person. And we did a study with her to affirm her faith, and she got baptized this summer. And my wife and my mother-in-law were privileged to be there to see her get baptized. This is generational conversion. This is changing the course of my mother-in-law, who was born in an Italian-Irish family and was Catholic in background, and now her whole future in front of her and the kids that she has and her grandchildren are following and walking with Jesus. It's an amazing thing. My wife, whose father was a Sicilian from Sicily, Italy, hard Catholic family, is now part of a generational change of actually living for Christ and actually seeing others come to know him personally. This is the Troughton family. This is kind of the best picture I could pull off Facebook, so if you can't see them, that's okay. But Ted and Michelle Troughton started coming to our church at Grace Community Church when these guys were just 2 and 3 and 4 years old. That's their kids. Ted and Michelle didn't go to church, but they connected into our church, and they came the first Sunday, and when they came, the kids had such a great time at the children's program, they said, Mom and Dad, we have to come back. So guess what they did? They came back. And eventually, they came into evangelistic Bible study, they came to know Christ, and so now their family are all knowing Jesus. But beyond that, Jake Troughton, who is here, he's now the youth leader at the church. Generational change. A family that was not connected to God, didn't participate in the things of Jesus, now totally converted and generationally converted for Christ. Isn't that exciting when you start talking about generational change? That's what you're able to do through church planting. Here's a couple I wanted to share with you as another couple that we had the privilege of leading to Christ. Eric and his wife, Carmen. this 20 years ago when we first started to plant the church in Canada. Eric was from Laos. He's Chinese, but he's from Laos. And his wife is from Hong Kong, both coming from a Buddhist background and have no idea or very limited idea of God. And we had the privilege of engaging them through our new church plant. And as they were coming into the country, they said, we wanted to kind of assimilate into the Canadian culture. So they started coming to our church, even though they knew nothing about what we were about. And so we started to engage them. We got them into Bible study. It took quite a process coming from a Buddhist mindset to actually believe in Jesus and understand the Trinity. It was a big deal. And Eric came to know Christ, and Carmen came to know Christ, and now their children know the Lord, and they love Christ and are serving faithfully in our church. Generational change is what's happening when you plant churches. You reach people and new communities in different ways that you would never reach where you are. So I want to encourage you and thank you as a congregation that you're bold and you're stepping out in your 10, 11, 12 vision, and you're thinking about committing to planting a church in every season of that, that God is going to reward you richly and you're going to be blessed through that process. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak to this amazing congregation about why we should be planting churches. Thank you for Pastor Phil and the leadership team here and their vision to keep the church moving forward despite the challenges, despite the season they're in, looking to the future, looking outside the walls of the church, looking to advance the name of Jesus and make him famous in the foothills and all over the world. May you bless and encourage them, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope you can make it today at 2 o'clock. We're going to have a great time talking about how to share your faith. Love to see you if you can make it. Have a good morning.